Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Sherry Petroni is joining us, and she is a transformation coach, energy healer. Her work involves supporting women who are in pain over health, wealth, and relationships. She is an authority in aligning and harmonizing one's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies to achieve success. She founded the world-recognized Oasis to Zen Transformation Spa in Las Vegas, Nevada, 10 years ago, and she founded it on the guiding principle that inner and outer beauty becomes wellness. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here today.
I'm excited to talk about really abundance, money, wealth, conversations that most people cringe at or frustrated. You know, these are hard conversations for a lot of people, especially with what's happening in at least America's economy, where there's a lot of inflation. So people are, you know, really hyper-focused on trying to understand, like, what can they do to bring more abundance into their life. But your work in, you know, specifically revolves around aligning energy bodies to kind of do this work with abundance. So can you talk to me, first and foremost, what brought you to this type of work?
Well, what brought me to this type of work was my own, I would say nose to the grindstone, but my joke is I didn't have a nose left and I had to figure out what else to do. I'm an 80s girl, and that was what we did. You get in there, and, you know, I sang this to somebody the other day. It was like the whole thing, you know, Anjali, you bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never, ever, ever let him forget he's a man because I'm a woman. Well, you know what? We don't have to do that unless we want to. We may not even cook at all, right? So what was, it's funny because that's the one thing I remember the most as a child is that commercial. I thought, wow, that was a powerful message that I did not need. And coupled with my own past history, money story, whatever, you know, we collect things along the way. And what I found is I was a teacher in my former life, and that was no longer a viable option for me just because of how I taught and the explorations I would do and allow the kids to create some of their own curriculum based on the skills that we had to do and things like that. As we moved more into this century, it was really frowned upon. And so I had to do something else. And my principal, who just adored me, said, you got to get out because they don't want what you have. You have to just, it's more of a, you sit down and you do what they tell you to do as well. And he knew how I operated. I didn't understand it at the time because I started teaching when I was 22. And I did this intuitively, right? So fast forward to my business. I do have some business savvy intuitively as well. However, I don't have a lot of the training, right? So what happened is I come in with my limiting beliefs and my ideas of how things should work. And so I'm a recovering codependent that will try to people please everyone and say yes when I mean no. And I'll work 60 or 80 hours to make sure that I fit your thing in. And oh, I'm going to discount your offer too, right? And this and that and what have you. And what I was doing is that's where the nose was gone, right? Yeah. I was sitting there thinking, why is this happening? So I am, and my joke is that if I need to learn something, God brings it to me in a form of a program for my business. And that's what I started doing. So I have a nutrition mindset program, and I have the energy mindset and the whole money and relationships. And really, they're all related, right? And so what happened was, as I'm doing these, and of course, we're practicing them, and I'm learning my own things, I realized, oh my gosh, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing all these things that I'm looking at how to help other people. And the funny thing is, of course, you know, primarily I have women in my spa, but there are men that sometimes come in. And I realized that I was having the same problems they were. And that's why I was at work every day and saying, you know, I'd stay for a $20 appointment for 4 hours so that I wouldn't let them down. And it was so inefficient, everything I was doing. And it came back to what was going on with my mindset. And one day I just decided to do my own programs, go through all of them very thoroughly, and create a comprehensive program that I could give to people that is very custom and also something that I can say I did thoroughly. So I have completed every one of those programs with other people that do the programs, not me. I didn't do it like myself or whatever, so that I knew so that I could help others. But it was really a process of, this is not working. And it wasn't.
I completely understand that. And I think a lot of listeners probably who have their own, if it's not, you know, if they're not independent entrepreneurs, at least they are working their 9 to 5 and then on the side, they are, you know, hustling and they're entrepreneurs in that way. And like you said, there's this tendency to over deliver, you know, like giving free things away just to people please. And these are issues I think a lot of us kind of deal with. And I think that comes back to, like you referenced, some limiting beliefs that we are kind of holding within ourselves. So can you, I guess, talk to me a little bit about like the impact that limiting beliefs have on how you build wealth or how you have even an abundance mindset?
Yeah, your beliefs are everything. And the funny thing is that the brain doesn't know the difference. You know, I can go, wow, you know, I'm going to make $1 million and I'm going to really feel it and I'm going to say it every day. However, that's such a, so let me back up. If you're only making 100,000, which is a lot to some people, but you're saying 1 million, that discrepancy, the mind goes, I don't know if we can get there. And then that's a limiting belief, but it's also the process the mind goes through. But if you also go, I'm going to make 200,000, and you have a belief that says, but you're not worth that. You're only worth $200. I'm just making it up. But then there will be things that happen. You will end up, your car breaks down. Your people don't show up. And then they tell you why they shouldn't have to pay a fee for not showing up, and or whatever it is. Or, oh, you know, I only have $50. I had somebody doing this the other day. And then he was bragging about how he makes $500,000 a year in his business. And I was thinking, you have enough money to do this work. Like, really? But it was at a mixer, right? And so he was a little bit of drinking a little bit of too much liquor. And then he was started bragging. And I'm like, okay, there's probably somewhere in between that. But the point being is he really wasn't willing to pay for what I do. However, he wanted his systems to change. So you also have to have a desire. But what happens is, so I'll give you an example that when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I had a job. I was also going to college, well, getting ready to go to college and all of that, and doing all of my stuff. And I would go to work every day, right, practically from going home, doing my homework on the bus, didn't have a, you know, I didn't have anything like a car and all that, or any, I was just, it was me, myself and I, what would happen is at the end of the week, my parents would go, well, where's your paycheck? And it was because at that point, it was so far along that they made money and they weren't alcoholics or addicts or gamblers, because I live in Las Vegas. None of that. It was their belief system was wacko, though, because they were literally not doing what needed to be done with the money that we had in order to be able to not have to ask their daughter, who's working for minimum wage every week, for their paycheck. And eventually I moved out while I was still in high school, because I didn't want to end up being that person anymore, which is kind of a miracle, I think, when I think about what my mindset was when after I moved out. However, that's kind of an extreme example, but that's what was happening with me. And I knew if I stayed there, I would no longer be able to maybe remove myself from it, right? So it was kind of a fight my mom had, and she's, why don't you just leave? And I was like, okay. And you know what? It was the best thing that ever happened to me because it was the first time I really stood up for me having an income. Because I was really working for a few years by then. I started working at 15 and it was just crazy. So what happens is these things that are underneath the surface that we're not aware of will that come from, you know, could be past that your parents said stuff, or you heard them say something and you were three and you thought they were talking about you. Maybe they were talking about money and they were trying to keep a secret for a vacation that they were going to take, but you're hearing them whisper about money. And what happens is you think there's something wrong with money, and it could be money is bad. Simple as that. Three-year-old would think money bad. Oh no. Right. And then you're 50 and you're wondering why you can't keep a job. Because money is bad. And there are things that are so simple and so easy to explore. And then, of course, you know, there's bringing it to the next level. So the beginning is really to uncover, become aware, and start seeing what the bleeding neck problem, basically. What is going on with this person that they cannot move to the next level? So it could be, you know, like what I was doing, working 24/7 every day, trying to take one day off a week, usually spending half the day on Sunday working in the office to get everything done so that I could spend a half a day with my kids and my husband to go back to work the next day. And the reality was, is my relationships were messed up. I wasn't making enough money because I wasn't doing the self-care I needed. Obviously, I wasn't sleeping or taking rest stops or any of those things, which are what we need to actually make the money. It's one of those, sounds counterintuitive, but we need those things. It was because I felt from childhood, not that my parents ever said this, I had to be of service to others in order to be worthy enough to be in their life. And that I felt like I had to do that in order to have friends or family that loved me or anything. It was literally an energy exchange. If I give enough, you will love me. Now, what I learned as I got older is, they're just going to take advantage of you. And when you step up, they're not going to love you necessarily. Maybe they will, but most of the time people would just leave because that wasn't why they were there. I was such a giver that they were there for other reasons. Because right. What kind of self-respect did I have? It was my own fault. I didn't have respect for myself. How could anybody else have respect for me?
So how would you recommend other people who are struggling to either get to another level or to even reach a specific goal? Like how do they begin to deprogram some of their limiting beliefs? Like, where do they start?
So it really is about awareness. It really is about starting to take a look, you know, and some of the things you can do on your own. You can journal. I used to do a brain dump for 10 minutes and it would be, let's see, I'm resentful for whoever. Mm-hmm. And I would take this flip. So it would be like the flip at the top, right? This notebook. And I would just flip it. And I was told to do this for 3 minutes a day by a friend of mine. And if you couldn't write very much in 3 minutes, then you were done. And I did this every night before I went to bed. And this thing got completely full. And I wasn't resentful towards whatever that was anymore, right? So because sometimes what happens is, and you just write whatever, and you could write it over and over again. So, you know, my sister's mean to my son. She thinks her son is better. My son is better. No, her son is better. Well, I don't know which one is better. I think it's ridiculous. And like, it could just be this whole thing, but you're getting that out. And what happens is you start seeing that you have some beliefs. Now, you can also, you know, part of the process of what I do is helping people get to that point much quicker, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason I start with money is because money is the thing that people will most likely respond to, because we need it to mm-hmm. you know, make ends meet, have a house, have the food and everything. So we might, you know, let the relationship slide a little, maybe, you know, how well we're eating or exercise or even sleep. We can lay up there all night and be, and then the first thing you do is you get a Coke and a donut in the morning. I know people that still do that. And I'm like, ew. and I just have that's the wrong combination, maybe a coffee and a donut, but I don't eat donuts anymore. That's another story. So really is finding someone that can start helping to uncover these things. Mm-hmm. If especially it's been a challenge for a long time. I start a session out with, what would you prefer not to experience? What is the number one thing that you just do not want to do anymore? And it is quite often about money. And sometimes it's not. It eventually comes around to family history, be it things that were said to us. And so I work with a lot of that in the beginning. You know, we map out money. We map out how it's like, it's sort of what I call it is a mindset balance sheet. We look at the credits and the debits, and we look at everything. And people don't have to tell me like how much money is in their bank account or what have you. And by the way, it doesn't matter. Somebody can be a billionaire and still have issues with money because of their mindset. Or somebody that makes a ton of money and then loses it all, makes a ton of money. There are things that are going on. Or it can be that you make sure that you only, like at the end of each week, you only have $100 left. Everyone has something that ends up connecting with something else. So I work with the earliest money story. And then, you know, well, okay, well, if you are wealthy, what's the downside to that? And then some financial traumas, because those also hurt. Those hurt deeply. And especially if they were younger, if somebody, they lost their home or they moved a lot or things like that, there is a financial trauma that comes as a result of that. Or, you know, and so they're varied. They're varied. They're very, very varied. And so it depends on the person where some of that starts. But really taking a look, that awareness comes from this mapping process of looking at those balance sheets. And of course, it's mindset. It's not their dollars, although they'll look at them and write their own pieces down. And we can start figuring out from there what's going on, not because we're still looking at the money, but we're looking at those relationships with money. And then what happens is that balance sheet changes over time. So it's a really good way to look at what's happening with our mindset, because it's hard to measure mindset.
Right. And
it just is, right? So it's a good way to see where their numbers come up in how they rate themselves for what's happening.
I think that's incredibly helpful, because I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but a lot of people do have a strained relationship when it comes to feeling capable enough to be abundant or to increase their wealth. You know, there's just a lot of fears, especially when it comes to, even let's say that you're an early entrepreneur, there's a lot of fears around taking risks that might be necessary for you to generate more wealth. And I think, you know, even in a personal sense, like taking risks with your money, especially if it's your savings or something, you know, you've worked to save for a long time, many people just are really afraid to do that because of the potential, you know, loss that they could incur. So how do you help people to really begin to build, like once they begin deprogramming their beliefs, like how do you begin to help them like cultivate and build that mindset? Like, what do those tools look like to begin to, you know, feel, I guess, financially like safe and secure to even like at some points take those risks?
Yeah. So what I do is I have a basic framework, and it's four bigger steps, which have the smaller steps underneath because everybody's a little bit different, but it is uncovering and healing some of those past wounds, roots, you know, my mom said this, whatever. And it's not always the mom. I'm just using that because it's easy. We all have a mom even. And so And then we go into, once we heal some of those things, we get to be able to look at possibilities. And then we can start taking those beliefs, shifting those beliefs once we're aware of some things. And then we can start releasing and clearing some of the trauma processes. And trauma, you know, doesn't have to be, my joke is, you don't have to be run over by a truck and then spent, you know, 2 years in rehab or something. There's a lot of traumas that we have that are very small, but not to us as a small child. And so when we go back in, there are anything that affected how we see the world in a negative way. in relation to us. Those are, when I look at traumas, that's what they are. And so we go through some of the goal traumas. You know, I thought I was going to go to Pepperdine, and after I had all these scholarships and things, it didn't work out because there was a little bit more I needed to get there, and no one would help me. And so I stayed here in Vegas, and I went to UNLV, and that's okay, because the reality is I am such a resilient person as a result of things. But at the time, it was severely traumatizing to me. And when I want to go down into the darkness, I will go, I should have went there. And I mean, there was no way I could maximize my time and make the money I needed to and work at the school and all of that. And even with their scholarships, I just couldn't do it. So that would be what I would consider. It was a goal trauma for me, and in a sense, a financial trauma, because I also didn't have the money and I didn't have any means to do anything else besides what I did. And I'm fine. I'm okay that how it was isn't how it ended up being, because I have so many other things now. But so we start looking at a new future, right? So we start looking at the goals and the traumas and starting to see how you can take action on those goals and start doing something new and different, which is where also we have this play work at the end of each session, where here's what you can do to start creating this. And we co-create a plan together of something that the client can do so that they start putting something else into action, which is where a lot of people, they go, oh, you have this belief. You're unworthy. Now you're worthy. Yay. Go on now. You have that changed forever. No, because there's a hole there of energy that we need to bring in something new and take the action for it to take hold. And so that is one of the pieces that I make sure I do every time with people. And then we check on that. And sometimes you need a week of integration. So I might do a full spectrum body healing, which can be done online. Which is really cool. If somebody's in Vegas, they can work with me in the spa, but I can do it anywhere. Yeah. And then we move in. So we're healing. Then we start having belief in possibility. We move into empowerment. By this time, you've had 8 or 10 sessions under your belt. You're starting to really see what's possible. You're creating some new things. We're not just rewriting the money story like we are in the beginning when we're looking at things differently. And then there may be an inner child rescue or some things like that, because I do other things besides this process. But we bring in the other things as needed for that particular person. So we get into that empowerment shift. So now we're feeling more confident. We're feeling empowered. We're starting to heal forward, move forward, start to start shining. We're being seen. We're being heard. We're being validated. And guess what happens? Resistance. So this is quite often where, if it hasn't happened already, resistance from looking at the past, or resistance of being triggered by the goals, which is why this process is very gentle. It's And if we have to stop and go back in, you know, like there's no rush. I'm 58. I still have stuff since I was a baby that I'm sure I could still clear, and they come up as needed, and then I do the work still. But then there's the third thing. So it's the resistance to that being seen and heard, that shining with confidence. Oh my gosh. I still have this sometimes, and mostly it's in the spa because I'm in person, which is funny to me. And I'm standing there, and there could be 10 people that I know well. And all of a sudden, I'm standing next to myself, but I'm really there, just me, but I can see myself. It's the weirdest thing. And you may have experienced this. And I'm going, what are you doing? Like, you think you're funny, and they're laughing and blah, blah, blah. Cause I'm kind of quirky as well. And they're looking at you. Look, don't you see that? And that's parts work, which I also do, which is our archetypes and things, because all these things come into play with our mind. And again, the mind don't care. If you change all of that stuff, the mind just goes for all the things we really want, because all of these things were designed by our minds to protect us. So then as we go into that confidence stage and we start shining and showing things, then we're like, okay, I'm going to strive for a little while longer. I'm going to get stuck there. And okay, I'm doing this. So like, why could I, the nose is going down into nothing again. Right. And so then we look at that, and we look at that whole confidence and empowerment. And even there's sometimes a hidden money agenda. Like, okay, I'm going to be doing this over here and I'm going to wait to build, to get a new car. Then this new car blows its engine. Why? Well, you didn't prioritize things maybe correctly. This is a very simple scenario because sometimes we don't know why the car broke down. But energetically, things like that happen. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, something was out of alignment. Okay, but I'm doing my meditation every day. I'm carrying my crystals with me. I'm walking out in nature. Okay, what are you thinking about when you're walking out in nature? Are you looking at the beautiful flowers? Are you smelling the flowers? Are you sitting down and just allowing that stream in the background make noise and you're just there with it? Like, so sometimes we're doing things, but we're still up here going into the past or the future, and then the nothing is actually making change. So that's that empowerment where we start seeing some of those. So the hidden money agenda is quite fun because we don't know we're doing it. We're doing what was safe for us as children. And right. When you go into some of the parts work and you talk to a part that goes, oh, which may sound really weird. It doesn't mean we're crazy or anything, but we have all of these mechanisms. And it could be 5-year-old Sherry that goes, no, we're not going to go over and skate because, oh no, I'll say it, but there's a better one. Farmer in the Dell. This actually happened. Well, you were running. You can't play Farmer in the Dell. That was like, remember that? And then your shoe broke. I had clogs on and one of them broke. And everybody was laughing. And I was running after the boy because I kind of liked him that picked me because I was mad at him. And I picked up my piece of my shoe and I was going to throw it at him. Anyway, I ended up going to the office. And I remember by the time I got to the office, my mom called my mom. And I said, she goes, what's going on? I go, my shoe broke. And I was sobbing. And my mom came in and she gave it to me. And now she says, Sherry, I never laughed so hard in my life. You were so distraught by that shoe. And so that was a trauma for me. And it could literally be an agenda that I go back to, which sounds ridiculous right now as I say it. Oh, well, I can't be seen because that happened to me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really kind of crazy. And then you get into the fourth stage, which is action, up leveling, supercharging, procrastination, and motivation. In other words, you're taking the procrastination away, bringing in motivation and consistent action. So then we revisit the money map there, but we're going to have those ebbs and flows. So that's where then people can go off on their own for a while, see what they're doing, come in as they need to, or, you know, there are belief things that I can do, a belief clearing process that I do and some other things that fit into this as needed. And what's beautiful about the structure is you never know when it's going to happen, but it happens perfectly because the client shows up and says what they need to, because everything comes from them. I don't think that I know anything about them because I don't. I mean, I do from the book sense, but I don't know them. So when I have them go in, I ask open-ended questions. I build the trust and allow them to unfold as necessary. And it is the most amazing work. It is such a crack up sometimes, and also sometimes so heartfelt. And there's always so much growth by being there in that process and allowing things to unfold.
Definitely. And there's something that I think you kind of alluded to, which is interesting for me, especially if you are, let's just say, older, people who feel like time has passed them by and there's no more opportunities to for abundance or to build wealth. I think that's something that is quite common. Yes, most likely because of your limiting beliefs, but also because of the culture, you know, that you grow up in, you know, that teaches you that after a certain age, you know, that's kind of the end for you. And there's no way for you to do activities that would generate wealth or, and so on and so forth. So have you had clients who have these huge desires or goals and they feel like it's too late for them? Like, why should I try now? Like, my time is up.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I have, and I've, I don't know what it is about me. So I'm 58 and I can say, listen, I just last week had somebody say to me, you know, you're going down the other side of the mountain, not coming back up, coming up it. So maybe you should figure out what you're doing. And I thought, okay, buddy, you're on, you know,
yeah.
And he wasn't being mean. He was simply pointing out that I'm 58, which I don't think is that old, but I did when I was like 25. So, you know, there's some perception there. However, my two groups that I tend to attract age-wise are like the 30-something, early 30s, and 60s and up, wow. Which is really more observational information. And I don't know what it is about me that does. However, in both sense, they already think their time is up. Interestingly, oh, it's too late. I didn't get my career, or I didn't, you know, go to school, or I didn't this, or I didn't that. And women, we have that more because we also worry about the kids and do we want kids? Do we not want kids? Yeah. I'm working on my career, and now I have to try to maybe somehow fit that in or get a husband or whatever. So it becomes interesting because I have people that are going, okay, I want to make enough money to be able to do in vitro and not worry about having a man. And then quite often they end up getting a man because of their stuff and whatever, which because once they attract somebody that resonates with them, what have you. But a lot of that has to do with our upbringing. And what's interesting is it's those two ends, right? So there's that scarcity mindset and that fear. I'm not going to make it. There's not enough. And that whole, you know, the pie. Okay, I need a piece of that pie because there's only so much, which is the first thing we have to get rid of is it's not a scarcity mindset, which could take some time. It's all those fears, those complaints of, you know, oh, I'm going to give, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to, take the day off tomorrow because I'll wait till I make this much money or what have you. And then meanwhile, your whole family is falling apart or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what happens is I work with them as well on, okay, you have this scarcity and now we can move into abundance, which sometimes even an abundant mindset, people still think that it's that pie, which is interesting. So there's those two pieces, which are kind of two sides of the same coin. But if you're living in that space of there's abundance, but there's not enough for everybody, which is weird because I wouldn't think people would think that. And that's not actually the definition. However, so what I do is I bring them into this wealth and prosperity mindset, which is the mindset that there's enough for everyone. Because really, the more we put out there, the more everyone brings back. And so there's this whole, and then I use the water on the planet as that recycling. Mm-hmm. Or energy, if they understand the four energy bodies of how it's recycled. And there's always enough for everyone. And we all have what we need or desire and manifest. And so it could be low vibration or high vibration or a lot of water or no water, I guess. But that's the way it works. And I talked to them about wealth is really a mindset of having everything you desire. Everything you desire, and there's enough for everyone. And so that's that abundance and wealth mindset. And it's not about money necessarily. Some, yes, money, but the time freedom, the ability to, like for me, my grandkids live 2 hours away and I want to drive there every weekend and I can't quite do that yet, but I visit at least once a month and because I need to see them. They're little and I don't want to miss that because I missed some of that with my own kids because I was too busy putting my nose to the grindstone and I didn't see you know, milestones and things because I wasn't paying attention because I was focused on the wrong thing, which is another misalignment again of energy, right? Mm-hmm. I was trying to split myself up into too many things instead of having one purpose and satisfaction and the enjoyment piece in order to do everything I could do to be in balance and harmony. And that would have worked slowly into having this wealth. And then the prosperity piece is really about the manifestation and the physical things that show up in our lives. And it could be this happy family. Again, it could be the same, but there's a little bit of a difference. The prosperity piece is that manifestation of the things and how what they look like. So for some one person, it might be an old car that they're putting back together. One person, it might be a plane. And one person, it might be, I want an electric car, you know, just depending on what it is. And then those things start showing up once we have that abundance mindset for wealth and what wealth means, because then we have to have that piece. Now, what do you want? We know what you don't want. Let's start building a strategic attraction plan of what you do want. And that's a piece that can come in as well.
Yes. And you also kind of implied about prioritizing time. So the example that you gave was, you know, spending more time with, you know, grandchildren. So self-care and prioritizing what matters to you, how does that all fit into being able to, let's say, build wealth? Because we do have this perception that we do need to work 24/7 in order for us to be successful. I think that is an extremely common belief, like almost worldwide. So how do you reframe this for yourself where you can have, you know, a day that includes things that do matter to you and also like self-care? Mm-hmm. And why is that important to building an abundance mindset? Like, what part does that play?
So self-care is absolutely essential if anybody wants to really make money and be in a wealth mindset and have the prosperity that they want. Because even though it does seem counterintuitive, oh, I'll make all that money first and then we'll go back and do this. First of all, I did that. Now I'm older and there's some things I can't do that I want to kick myself that I didn't go to Machu Picchu. And when I could climb up there, I think they drive up there now, but I wanted to hike up there. Like I wanted to do the trek. I don't think I could do it anymore. Now, that doesn't mean I might not try at some point. However, that is not a thing. So the counterintuitive piece about self-care is if we don't take care of ourselves will take care of us for ourselves. Like, so my parts, and this is another thing. So I started eating better, and because I was starting to feel really lousy, I wasn't sleeping well. You know, you hit menopause and all of those things and you start having your hormones change. And so for me, it was this and I just felt terrible. And so I started out with this metabolism reset program that I'm a coach of now because it was so amazing that I couldn't believe this all happened in like 35 pounds I lost in 6 weeks. And then, but the healthy, clean food that I was eating and everything, anyway, that's a whole other story. But I was like, wow, this goes so well with the spa. I need to be able to do this. And so that would be what I would say is the beginning of how I started going, oh, okay, I need to change this. Now, what was funny is in the meantime, because of some of my other stress and I will say, worry, anxiety, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this. And even maybe some, a little bit of depression or overproductivity and still overgiving and some of these other things. And I do have some trauma stuff that I've worked a lot through. But every once in a while things come up because they just do. And then there's a way to handle them instead of it's the response, which we get to it eventually. But what happens is I'm talking about nutrition and health, but it's also sleeping in on a day when you just need to take that extra sleep or taking, you know, a rest stop in the middle of the day. My friend a long time ago said, you have to take 15-minute rest stops in between your appointments. That's going to help you so much to regenerize, make sure you have enough water, you've used like just basic things, right? So there's a way to prioritize what will work for that person that I'm working with. And they may go, no way, no way, no way, no way, I cannot do that. And so we do a few sessions and then we take a look again, because again, it's on their, they have to be ready for it, or we're just going to be butting heads and they're going to just do what they're going to do anyway, right? But what happens is we start releasing some of those things. Let's say I'm unwanted. Well, that's not a good one. I am unworthy. I don't want to keep using that one, but that's just, I'm unworthy. So they won't do it. Well, we go right in instead of the money map. We might go right into that and do the process that's necessary there and start doing the play work to practice. And it might be that, okay, you're going to do one thing for yourself for 5 minutes. And it might be journaling. It could be literally just journaling if that's what they want to do. I let them pick. Because my idea of self-care isn't yours. and neither. And so, and I tell everybody right up front, I don't go to a spa for self-care because I work there all day long. Yeah. And I don't need to be in a spa because what am I doing? Ooh, that's a good idea. Ooh, how many times did they just make that move? Oh, they're going over there. I've never felt that before. That would be interesting to try. And then I'm at work again. Mm. So it's a process, and we just start with one thing or two things and then help them. And because really the reality is money and relationships and the wellness are all together, and self-care could be that you do a date night and really do it, not put it in your schedule or what have you, or say you're going to do it and then not, because you know, you if you have a partner, you really want them to be your partner. And if we're, I've seen so many couples that have come in, and it's usually the woman who comes in for like, let's say facial or whatever, and she's complaining and complaining. And so I do some work with them, and then I'll have their husband come in and I go, okay, here's what's been going on. And then we make a couples thing together of like, here's some things that Brenda would like to do. And how do you feel about that? Or I let them say it usually, but sometimes I have to speak it for them because they're so afraid. And usually the other person is thrilled because they're like, oh, thank goodness, something that we can try to do. Or, okay, well, I don't think it's going to work. And then, so that's the other thing is, if I need to bring someone else in or what have you, and I'm not, since I'm not a therapist, I'm not trying to, you know, fix them or change things. I do take a lot of courses that are therapeutic courses, that because I just like to know all the science behind things. However, it's more intuitive and shamanic, but that's kind of an idea. So we have to have a baseline to know where to go. Some people are doing self-care really well, but it might be that they're going to the club every night, which might not be the best form of self-care, right? So as we shift those beliefs, we get to shift some of that. I've had people stop drinking. I've had like all kinds of different things. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that, but if it becomes an issue, let's look at it. What's going on underneath the surface?
Exactly. Well, Sherry, I'm so glad that you're on with us today. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
So the best thing to do is go to sherrypetroni.com because book a discovery session. If any of this made sense to you, or you're like, oh my gosh, what did she just say? I need to ask that again. I have free discovery sessions. Before I even work with anyone, I want to make sure that we're in alignment and that you see that you like what you see, because this is it. This is me. And sometimes I'm a little bit wackier, or somebody sometimes a little more serious, but This is how I am all the time. And this is what I do all day. And if you catch me at a store, look out, because sometimes my kids are like, man, even as adults, they're still going, oh, here she goes again. But sherrypetroni.com, there's a discovery session. There's also a free download that is your earliest money story. I think it says the money story meditation. Please download that. Go through it. It's me walking through a process of basically a money story that you'll most likely recognize some version of a core wound, which sounds really traumatic. And it's really something that you decided about yourself based on some things. And it's a step-by-step process, relaxing meditation, maybe something you wouldn't want to hear. However, then do a discovery session and we'll do it together and we'll go through and really see what you may need. And then I have lots of resources from there, and then we'll find where they need to be in the whole flow of my menage a trois of stuff. I just have tons of things. So yes, whatever it is that they need, because I don't want to push anybody into this, but sometimes it takes a while to percolate and sometimes people are ready to go. So whatever that looks like, we can do something, or we can both say, you know what? No, not yet. Go to Tips to Discover Prosperity Mindset on Facebook and follow and watch the weekly show, things that I do, because I go on there and do something experiential every week. And that's a good place. You can it's a catch all, and then you can from there figure it out.
Awesome. Well, thank
you. Call me. I'm not scary.
Awesome. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And thank you again, Sherry.
Thank you. I really, this was nice. I appreciate that you knew enough about this to be, I've been on some podcasts that wasn't the case. So thank you, because this was really good. This is
definitely
good.
Until next time, everybody, take care.